Welcome to the Nations Church Port Kennedy podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
We've got a really special moment in our service today. You know, here at Nations Church, we value the generations. We value that we have young people in the church who are growing up in the house, who are finding Jesus and going deeper in their faith, finding their purpose, finding their destiny in Him. And that's why it's so important to us that we invest in our kids' ministry, we invest in our youth ministry, we invest in our young adults, because we know that they will carry the future that God has prepared for His house and for His people. Do you agree with me today? It's so powerful when we take that opportunity to invest in our next generation. And today, all across our kids' programs, our junior high program, which is year 6 to year 9, we've got kids that are graduating from that program and moving up. So the kids who are in year 1 this year are graduating from Sprockets and heading into our jump program. The kids in our jump program who are finishing year 5, going into year 6 this year, are graduating from our jump program, that's our primary school age, and heading into junior high. And we've got kids in junior high who are going into year 10 this year who are graduating from junior high today. So we've got so much to celebrate across all of our kids' programs. But today we thought it'd be awesome just to be able to celebrate our jump kids who are graduating from that program heading into junior high. Some of them have been in the program for 5 years. Isn't that amazing? As they've made their way through those few years of being discipled in that kids' program on a Sunday. And so I want to invite our kids' coordinator, Emily Elliott, to come up on stage. She's going to help us with that. So put your hands together for her. And I'm going to hand over to Em. She's going to share with us about kids and the graduation.
Thank you, Pastor Mel. So good. So before we graduate these awesome kids, I actually just wanted to share a little bit of an update of what's been going on in our kids' ministry, because many of you may have no idea. Many of you may not touch points with our kids' ministry, but God is moving. So over the last week, we actually had a kids' conference called Summer Days. And at this conference, we had tons of fun. We worshiped God. We heard amazing messages. And the miraculous actually broke out. We saw a child from our campus have their wrist healed. We saw someone else receive the gift of the Holy Spirit on their life. We saw kids experience the presence of God for the very first time in a kids' program. And I just want to... It's pretty good. You can give God a clap. And I guess I just want to encourage you today to be praying for our kids' ministry, to be understanding that what God is doing there is powerful. And it's actually setting the next generation up to be Jesus followers for the rest of their life. Not only that, but it's setting them up to be the people who lead others to Jesus for the rest of their life. And I think if we can mobilize our next generation, then we can see this city of Rockingham absolutely revived for the cause of Christ. Yeah? So before I graduate these guys, I'm going to do one selfish little plug. If you have even thought for a second about serving in kids' ministry, maybe you've gone, oh, I could help out every now and then, or maybe you're a bit like, I don't think I have the skills. Can I ask you? Come and have a chat with me. Come and see if maybe it is a good fit, because we need hands to the plow. I can't do it on my own. Me, Grace and Shippo can't run a program every week on our own, and it is growing. And so if you have a thought that maybe this is something that God could use you in, come and chat to me and we can talk about it more. Hey?
Yeah.
Great. All right, that's my plug over. Now let's honor some amazing kids. So when they come up, let's give them a big clap, a big cheer, jump. You need to support your teammates, and we're going to do it. And we're going to start with the amazing Logan Wilkinson. Amazing. And then we've got Lacey Baxter. Good. And last but not least, we have Bethel Nice-Vimbo. We are so proud of these guys, and we know as they head into junior high, God is just going to continue to move in their life. He's going to speak to them through His word. He's going to build amazing relationships, and we are going to see some amazing men and women who really love God. So I'd love to invite Pastor Mel to pray for these guys before they head back to their program.
Awesome. Come on, why don't we extend our hands? Thank you, Lord. God, we thank you for these amazing young people. We thank you for the call of God on their life. Lord, we thank you that you formed them in their mother's womb and you formed them for purpose, that you formed them for destiny. And God, that you have great things planned for them, that you have a life planned ahead for them, Lord God, not to harm them, but to bring them into a future and a hope that you have predestined for them. And so God, we pray today for an outpouring of your Holy Spirit on each one of these young people, of the ones, Lord, who couldn't be here today. We pray that as well over our kids' ministry, over our youth ministry. We pray, Lord God, for an outpouring of your Holy Spirit, Lord God, that our children would be disciples of the Lord. And so we declare that today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Let's give them another round of applause as they make their way off the stage. Beautiful. So good. Isn't it awesome to see our kids up on stage? Now, Emily's not leaving. She's staying here because she's actually preaching today. How awesome is that? And I love when Emily preaches because she's such a great divider of the word. She's such a great minister of the word and also contains, just has this amazing passion that just overflows, not just through her, but spiritually. I just believe today you are going to be so impacted by what she brings. So lean into her as she preaches today. Lean into what the Holy Spirit wants to do in your hearts and in your mind today. So Em, over to you.
Thank you so much, Pastor Mel. Don't we have the best campus pastors in Pastor Mel and Pastor Mark? Why don't you give them a round of applause? So good. It's such an honor and a privilege to be standing up here sharing with you all. You know, I love when we get the opportunity to celebrate our kids. As you can probably tell, I'm quite passionate about the next generation. But it's such an honor and a privilege to see a young person grow in the house of God and watch them flourish. Do you know what is really cool though? Is watching them build their own relationships in the house. Watching them build genuine friendships, watching them encourage each other, pray for each other. And then when this happens, when kids graduate to the next program, they miss each other because they genuinely love each other. They do life together like mini adults. It's very, very cool. And you know what? Recently we had a carnival day in kids. We've done all these fun kind of activities over January, and we had a carnival program where they play all different games. And what really blessed my heart was watching these young kids cheer each other on, you know, like they were chanting each other's names. It actually got pretty rowdy. They were encouraging someone if they missed their shot. They were spurring them on to try again. And do you know what was awesome? Look, in interest of full disclosure, I did incentivize it with some extra tickets if they were good sports, but they took it to a whole other level and it blessed my heart because they got it. They got the understanding that we were built for connection. We were actually built to do life together, right? And so I've seen this in my own life, my own kids. My daughter Ruby, bless her cotton socks, she loves connection. Probably to a point where Dan and I are a little bit like, oh, school's coming back soon. But her famous cry is, I have nobody to play with. Are there any parents out there who have heard that cry a couple of times? Right. And for me, usually I'm busy and I'm like, oh man, Ruby, just entertain yourself. Just, you know, just have a play by yourself. But what she's doing is vocalizing the cry of all of our human hearts for connection. And that brings me to the title of my message today. The title of my message today is Choose Connection. And so before I share from the word, I would just like to pray. If you want to bow your heads and close your eyes. Father God, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it is alive and active and powerful to transform our hearts and minds. God, I pray as we share today around connection, God, that you'll do just that, that you will transform hearts and minds and that you would draw us closer to your likeness. And we pray this all in your heavenly name. Amen. So good. So today I'm going to share with you from a passage of scripture that you probably all are familiar with. It is in Luke chapter 5, verse 17 to 26. If you have your Bibles, why don't you turn there with me? One day Jesus was teaching, and Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. They had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. Some men came, carrying a paralyzed man on a mat, and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." the Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say get up and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the paralyzed man, I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home. Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, we have seen remarkable things today. Now, I love this story. It's one of my go-tos in kids' church because it's such a beautiful image, right? It's so powerful. The man's brought through the roof. Like, you can make all little cool drawings of it and little cool diagrams. But I think if you can be inspired by little kids encouraging each other in a game, how much more beautiful is it seeing a group of guys, some men, identify a need, know that Jesus can meet that need, and do whatever they can to get that person to the feet of Jesus. That beautiful moment, though, only comes as a result of choosing connection. You see, in this modern day and age, we can easily live in silos, worried about ourselves, our families, our finances, our jobs. And as a result, we actually miss these beautiful moments that are made for connection, and we miss the chance to activate the miracles that occur as a result. Connection is a choice. We can choose it. But I believe godly, faith-filled connection was exactly how God intended us to live our lives. In fact, I know this. I know this because Scripture tells me that we, that being me, you, the lady at the fish and chip shop, we were all made in the image of God. And in Genesis 1, verse 26 to 27, we see this. It says, then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Now, this is a really cool passage of scripture, because one of the key characteristics of God that we see in this scripture is that he is a relational God. The word Elohim in this passage is actually the plural form. I'm getting a bit English teacher on you here, sorry. But it's the plural form of the word El that means God. So God here is referring to himself as plural because he's one God made up of three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And if you've been a Christian for some time, you will know what we're referring to here is the Trinity. Through the Trinity, our God models connection in the most spectacular way. We see the Father, Son, and Spirit all working together in perfect harmony. Do you know all three persons of Scripture were present at the creation of the world? Scripture tells us this. God the Father spoke, the Spirit hovered, and Jesus, we read in the book of John, that God the Son, Jesus Christ, was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him. So here we see an example of all three persons of the Trinity existing and working together in relationship. God, by his very nature, is relational. He exists and operates in community, in connection. This is how we were designed. We were designed to live and operate in community, in connection. It is so important for us because it's actually part of how we were wired. It was how we were created in God's very image. Do you know what though? The enemy knows this too. The enemy knows that where there is connection, faith builds. Where there is connection, miracles break out. Where there is connection, hope rises. Where there is connection, we run our race as well. And guess what? The enemy doesn't like it. John 10:10 says, the thief comes, that's the enemy, only to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. The enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy our connections. He wants to keep us siloed. But God's intention was that we have life and life to the full. Now, the enemy isn't a creative fellow. He kind of uses the same old boring tricks and tactics to keep us bound up. But I believe there are three primary things that the enemy uses to keep us disconnected. And when we know these, we can actually fight against them, right? And the first one of these is pride. Pride keeps us disconnected because it tells us we don't need others. Or maybe it tells us I'm past that season of life. I'm far too busy to care for others in my world. Imagine if the four men in that story let pride in. Would one have tried to help him on his own? Would they ever have been able to decide on a strategy to get the guy to the feet of Jesus? Would this poor, paralyzed man have met an untimely end as these men grappled to stroke their own egos? Yeah, wow. Or perhaps they just would have kept on walking. They would have gone straight by him, too busy, too self-concerned to see the need of someone else. Pride kills connection. What about the paralyzed man? I mean, think about it. He doesn't even necessarily know these guys. I checked a bunch of different versions and each of them referred to the guys who lowered him through the roof as some men or just men. So for all we know, that day could have been the first time they met. Imagine the vulnerability required to allow this miracle to take place. Imagine being paralyzed on your mat. There's so much shame involved in that. That meant he would have never worked. He was probably dirty. He was probably unwashed. But he would have had to lay down his pride, be vulnerable enough to say, I have a need and I want your help. If pride had come that day, that man may still be paralyzed on his mat. Pride would have stopped that miracle in its tracks. How many times does pride rip us off from connection to a community of faith? How many times does it metaphorically leave us there, crippled on our mat, instead of experiencing the miracles and the freedom that God has intended us to have, life and life to the full? Pride kills connection. Offense also steals connection. You know, there's so many times that offense slowly creeps in and slowly disconnects us from others in our world. I know in my own life, where I have allowed offense in, it hasn't just stolen connection in one relationship, but it has built distrust, it's built bitterness, it's built suspicion, and in time, it's actually stolen from many, many, many relationships. Offense actually builds a fence. It builds a fence between you and other people, and most importantly, it builds a fence between you and Jesus. Offense tells us the lie that we are better off without others. Offense tells us the lie that forgiveness is the easy person's way out. Offense tells us the lie that nobody is to be trusted. And you know what? Sometimes offense feels warranted. When you've been hurt, it seems right to stay mad. It's mad. It seems fair even. But offense will never lead you to Jesus. Don't miss out on the beautiful connections God has placed in your world because you are too busy staying offended at that friend who hurt you last year. Don't miss out on plugging into a team because you were let down by a previous leader. Don't bow out on connect groups because there was a falling out in your last one. Choose connection. Choose not to let offense rob you of the beauty that connection can bring. The last thing I believe the enemy loves to use to keep us disconnected is insecurity. Now, don't bow out on me now. You know, when I was preparing this, I got to this part and God really stirred my own heart because insecurity, it works in two distinct ways. It can either keep us away from connection altogether or it distorts it and turns it into something it was never meant to be in the process. Insecurity destroys connection. For years of my own life, I grappled with the voice in my head that says, you don't belong here. You're not wanted. You don't matter. And to be completely frank with you, that voice still likes to pay me a visit sometimes. especially when there is an opportunity for God-anointed connection, the kind of connection that's going to grow you, stretch you, build you. I know for me, I was invited to a discipleship group and the enemy went, "You're not meant to be there. Look around you. Look at all the other people in that room. They're like real pastors. They're not kids pastors. What are you thinking? Why are you there?" And it nearly kept me out of it. It nearly helped me build an excuse that I couldn't be in that room. But do you know what, church? I am so sick of insecurity ripping us off, ripping me off, ripping you off from the connection that we were meant to have. I've gone off my notes and I don't know where I'm at, but I'm sick of it. Oh, man. You see, the problem with indulging with the voice of insecurity is it doesn't line up with the Word of God. It's completely contradictory, in fact. The Word of God describes us, all of us, as loved, as chosen, as purposed, as accepted. And insecurity is born out of not listening to that, but listening to other voices, the voices in our head, the voices other people speak. When we allow Jesus to do a transformative work in us, to be the sole definer of our identity, to be the primary source of our affirmation, to be our comforter, our counsel, our constant companion, our connections are blessed. You see, insecurity doesn't just keep us away from connections. It can also place expectation on connections that were never meant to be there. Your connect leader, or even your friend, was never meant to carry the weight of giving you all the love, care, and affirmation you need. They are human. They, even the best of them, are fallible. And I hate to break it to you, but when you expect that of them, they will let you down. But when we go to Jesus and allow Him to be all that for us, allow Him to be who He truly is in our life, we take the pressure off people, and it actually allows us to have faith-filled connections, just like in that passage of Scripture, that lead us closer to Jesus and allow us to do life with Jesus together. As I said, John 10:10 says, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Are you choosing life to the full? Are you choosing connection? Or are you allowing that area of your life to be stolen, killed, and destroyed? Choosing connection isn't always convenient or easy, but it is so worth it. God has called us to be part of a faith-filled community with Him at the center. We see this time and time again in the Word. Like in John 15, it describes us as branches all attached to one vine. Or in 1 Corinthians, we are called to be parts of one body, moving and working together for a sole purpose. And when we look back at the passage of the paralyzed man being lowered to Jesus, I see three key reasons to, despite the inconvenience, despite the difficulty, to keep choosing connection. The first reason is choosing connection draws us closer to Jesus. Now, we can see this very literally in the passage, right? The men literally took the guy and put him at the feet of Jesus. But it's true of our communities today. Who here has ever gone through a tough time? You don't need to show me your hands. I'm sure it's most of you. And in that, in the midst of trials, in the midst of heartache, sometimes it's difficult to get ourselves to the feet of Jesus. That man literally couldn't. He needed others. He needed others in his world to bring him to the feet of Jesus, to get him unstuck from his mat. You know, I'm going to take a moment here to brag on my beautiful friend Tracy, because she is such a great example of what it looks like to have a faith-filled community around you. We'll often go for a walk with the dog and my daughter and we'll chat just about life, just about the things that go on in life, and I'll share my heart. And do you know what she does time and time again? Is she speaks faith into areas that may be hard. She speaks life into areas where I have doubt. She draws upon the Word of God. She draws upon her personal well from Jesus, and she actually pulls heaven down and releases it into my world. And she does this time and time again. She's phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal. But that's what it means to have these faith-filled connections in your world, to have people that maybe when you can't see it, can see what Jesus is doing in your world. Maybe when you can't hear it, can hear the voice of God for you. God has designed us to have these beautiful connections. But you know what? That connection started in a pretty interesting way. I can see Jamie here today. She was there the day this all happened. So what happened is we moved from Sydney to Perth. I had a baby and a 2.5-year-old, and life was tricky. Dan was off at work full time. I was in this new area with no friends, no community, and I was attending church in the Myrie campus, actually, but I was very stubbornly remaining in my silo. I wasn't ready to make friends. I was tired. I was nervous. I was anxious, and I didn't have it in me. But this one lady, Casey from Kwinana, I met her in the mother's room one day, and she, just like the men in the story of the paralyzed man, saw that I had a need. She saw that I had young kids, I was new to the area, and I had a need for connection. So she invited me to the Mums and Bubs group right here in our Port Kennedy campus. Now, as I was saying, I was being a bit stubborn, so it took me a couple of weeks to actually go from that invitation to attending the Mums group, but eventually I did that. Now, if anyone here is an introvert, you will know the panic that ensues from being about to walk into a room of completely new people. Anyone? Yeah, right? I was packing it. I was so nervous. I'm pretty sure I called Dan in the car park. I was like, I can't go in. I'm too nervous. But I did. And when I did, I met the most spectacular groups of mums. These ladies were just doing life, but they had built a faith-filled community. And I stepped in and was completely embraced. Not only that, but they had happened to organize Tracy to come and speak. And this is something only God could have orchestrated. They organized her to speak. And when she shared about her story of moving from South Africa to Perth and what God did in her heart in that time. That spoke directly to me. It was exactly where I was at. And it started a beautiful friendship, not just with her, but with this whole community of mums. But that would have never happened without choosing connection. And you know the beautiful thing about it is that as I kept turning up, so firstly, God met me where I was at, but as I kept turning up, he allowed me to speak into other mums' lives. He actually stirred up what he'd put in me, and I was able to share with them too. And that's the beauty of connection. It's a two-way thing. We're not just there to take, but God will give us what we need so that then we can pour out, and it is the most rewarding thing ever. Choosing connection unlocks the miraculous. Let's have another look at Luke 15:20. When Jesus saw their faith, everyone say their faith, he said, friend, your sins are forgiven. Because of their faith, the man was healed. The use of the word there implies multiple people, right? So because of the four men and the faith of the paralyzed man, all choosing connection, choosing to lay aside their pride, their insecurity, their offenses, and step out in faith instead, a man's life was changed. He was set free not only from his physical ailment, but from the sin and the shame that entangled him as well. Matthew 20:19-20 says, again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them. Where we partner our faith with those around us, it moves heaven. When we pray as a connect group, miracles break out. When we choose to be vulnerable and allow a community of faith to stand alongside us, mountains are moved. I want to encourage those of you in this room who might have said to yourselves, I don't really have a need right now. I'm actually doing fine, just me and Jesus alone. Have you considered that perhaps you're missing the point? You see, recently I've been reading the book of John, and I came across the passage in John 4:14, a familiar one that talks about Jesus being living water. But what struck me was the end of that passage, and I'll read it to you now. It says, but whoever drinks from the water that I will give him will never get thirsty again. In fact, the water I give him will become a well of water, springing up in him for eternal life. When we drink, the living water of Jesus, it becomes like a well. Yeah. Other versions say a spring. The Message version even says an artesian spring, which I thought sounded absolutely beautiful, right? But regardless of the version, these all imply that the living water we have in us is abundant to be shared. A well provides water to the community around it. That's the whole point of a well. I want to encourage you today, your well, your spring of living water could be exactly what the people around you need. Don't silo yourself and rip others off of seeing their breakthrough because you don't have a need right now. Because I guarantee you, as you step out in faith, as you trust, as you lay aside pride, as you lay aside insecurity, as you lay aside offense, God will use you. He might use you to share your testimony that's going to help someone hold on to the promises of God. He might use you to bring a word from heaven that is going to encourage someone to press in closer to Jesus. He wants to use you, church. Coming to church is not just about us sitting here filling a seat every Sunday, but it's about us being the church, us taking what Jesus is doing inside of us and unleashing it across our community. Choose connection. Let others be blessed by your faith and it will bless you right back. I'd love to call the band up now and have a drink of water. You know, choosing connection shines Jesus. Our God thinks big and he knows full well that choosing connection will bless you beyond measure. It will draw you closer to Jesus and unlock the miraculous. But do you know what? It doesn't actually stop there. In a world that is more disconnected and self-absorbed than ever before, faith-filled connections stand out. In a world that is fast-paced and busy, people who carry one another's burdens stand out. And when people look at that, when they look at the relationships you've got with your faith-filled friends, when they look at what a connect group, like that testimony we heard, how that connect group rallied together. They did not know this guy down in Bunbury, but it was a burden on their friend's heart, so they rallied together and blessed this family. When people see that, they see Jesus. They see his heart for them. They see his great love for them. They see his goodness, his grace, his mercy for them. We cannot fathom how blessed our world can be when we as Christians choose connection. We choose to be about others and we let God do his thing. We see this again in that chapter, in that verse in Luke. It says, immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, we have seen remarkable things today. Everyone was amazed and filled with awe. Not everyone in there necessarily believed when they walked in, but they left seeing God do a move. They left seeing the miraculous. They left drawn closer to Jesus. We cannot fathom what the impact of us as followers has on our local community when we choose to live life to the full, when we refuse to let the enemy kill, steal and destroy God's amazing plan for connection in our lives.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message. If you want to know more about our campus, you can go to nationschurch.com/au/Port Kennedy.